This is Barry from Watford, and you are listening to Joe at the Fringe. Thank you.
Hello, welcome to Joe at the Edinburgh Fringe. This is episode four. Four? Yeah, definitely episode four. It is. The reason for my confusion is that it is now, currently, 2:43 a.m. on Sunday morning. We've just arrived back. We are relentless in our pursuit of bringing you what's hot and what's not at the Edinburgh Festival. And we'll slightly mix it up with this episode, solely because it's 2:43 in the morning. But also, we'll kind of run through highlights rather than sort of show by show, essentially because we did something slightly differently as well at the close of play this evening, or last night, as it were. I'm joined, as always, I'm Simon Clancy, joined, as always, by Noz Chowdhury. How are you, mate?
I'm good. I'm currently trying to get digestives out of my teeth.
Very nice. Chocolate or plain?
Plain. Not having chocolate at this time of night.
That's a fair point. So, let's do highlights first. Yeah. That's right, let's do highlights first, and then we'll talk a bit more about the show that we went to see at midnight last night. Give us some... Because we obviously, again, if you don't know, if you've just tuned in, if this is your first podcast, what we're doing is we're scouting for talent for Joe. We are also not reviewing, but choosing some of our best comedians that we saw. We're writing things that we think you would like to see, both here if you're coming to Edinburgh, and also when they start touring these things around the country. You can find those on joe.co.uk, but also in the podcast, we're just talking a little bit about some of the stuff that we like, that we recommend, and the reasons why, throwing in a few questions, a few interviews. We've heard from Catherine Bohart, from Will Hall, somebody else, so I can't remember who it was, but it was a very jolly interview, I'm sure. So yeah, let's run through some highlights then. What did you see yesterday, Saturday, or today, Saturday, or however we, I don't know what you do really when you're still awake after midnight. Is it yesterday, today, or tomorrow? Who knows? But anyway, Saturday, what did you see? What did you like? What were your highlights?
I ended up seeing Lou Conran. That's something we've both seen now.
I suppose we should let you into a little secret in that Lou is a sort of friend of Joe. She appeared on Boys Don't Cry, and we did the recording in Manchester, so both Noz and I were there. And after the show, Lou was talking about the fact that she still hadn't, and this was about 2 weeks ago, wasn't it? She still hadn't got an ending for her show. At Least I'm Not Dog Poo Darren is her the name of her show, which is on at Just the Caves. And she didn't have an ending, and she clearly found one. Did she find the right ending? Does it matter whether it's the right ending? And what must it be like when you have a show and you don't have an ending with 2 weeks to go?
I think if you're looking at the things organically, there must be really good shows that are less than an hour. Like, I'm not saying that this is the case with Lou, but, like, there must be, like, really brilliant, like, 40-minute shows, and, like, then it becomes a case of, like, trying to make it an hour, or you might have 50 minutes of material, and then you've got to try and stretch out to an hour. So it seems a bit arbitrary that everything has to be an hour long. Why can't something be 40 minutes or 45 or whatever? But maybe that's a bit of a unsaid stipulation for both venues and, like, critics and stars and stuff.
Tomorrow night, Sunday night, we are going to see arguably, or certainly my favourite comedian, and certainly one of your favourite comedians, in Daniel Kitson. We have heard a rumour that this is an hour and a half set and not an hour set, so that will be interesting to see if that rumour plays out and how a show manifests itself as an hour and a half, especially as it doesn't start until midnight Monday morning, or is it Sunday night? Who knows? That will be interesting to see, but it's a fair point about the shows and why they should be an hour, or whether or not they should be 40 minutes. Do you think Lou got the ending right, and does it matter?
Yeah, I mean, I think endings are really important. It's like a film, isn't it? Like, that's kind of what you remember when you sort of walk out. I loved seeing Lou. I'm a little bit, just generally, I'm a little bit in love with her just because, like, she just seems like, she is just a really lovely person, but, like, she's got this warmth on stage that sort of, like, allows her to sort of, like, say some of the stuff. Like, she involves, like, the audience quite a lot, like, in a brilliant way. And she gets away with saying, like, some awful stuff to the audience and sort of, like, insulting them and everything. But, like, people just go with it just because she's so likeable and, like, funny.
Can I say something controversial? She's obsessed with anal sex. Well, I mean, you're speechless.
Yeah, I mean, each their own. I mean, I've
literally speechless.
Yeah, I mean, well, I really like digestive biscuits. Do you know what I mean? It's whatever you're into.
Without chocolate.
I'm not a fucking pervert. Not at this time of night.
That would have gone over the heads of quite a few listeners, so I apologise. We will pick back up with Lou a bit later on because we saw her again in a slightly different guise. Another highlight?
I saw Larry Dean, so he's like local-ish because he's from Glasgow, and he was brilliant. It was a strange crowd for him because partly because he's got a Scottish, but partly because it was a Saturday early evening. There's a lot of locals as well, a sort of like fringe type. And there was a lot of people there who had been drinking, and like, so it was quite chaotic in that there was loads of interruptions. Like, people just get up to go to the toilet, or just there was one guy who fell asleep, and there was loads of sort of like weird stuff happening with the audience, and he dealt with it really well.
And then you saw one of your own favourite comedians, another northerner. Yeah, I know you don't like to talk about it very much, but you are from the north. Justin Morehouse, another Phoenix Knights cohort alumni. That's a better word.
Yeah, he was mega from beginning to end. It was just the whole crowd were just like laughing their heads off. And he's just so good at sort of controlling an audience and sort of controlling the pace and like building up the momentum. And he's just a master at it. And he was hilarious all the way through. A lot of it was talking about sort of his family and his kids growing up and having to cancel the Beano because they're too old for it. Being from the north, and also like as well as like there was a bit of poignancy because he started to talk about sort of about the Manchester attack. He could have milked that, and he could have sort of like gone for the sort of like sob story thing, but he didn't. And he knew just when to sort of pull back, and he knew how far to take it with sincerity. But then there's a beautiful moment towards the end when he's talking about the Manchester attack, and he's speaking with sort of total sort of sincerity and being very genuine. And then he totally undercuts it with like a self-depreciating gag, which was it was lovely in a way because it summed him up in that he's not going to take advantage of it, and it's going to end with him taking the piss out of himself.
It's now 2:52, and we started this at 2:43, and at 2:41, you said to me, "Let's just choose some quick highlights." And yet, I know there's still a comedian you'd like to talk about.
Yeah,
Mrs. Susie Ruffle.
Yeah, oh, Susie Ruffle, mate, like. She could possibly be my favourite thing that I've seen so far.
That's praise indeed. She's not another Manc, is she?
No, she's not. She's Southern, so that's a double.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? I don't say that lightly. Oh, she was just so good. Like, she had so much energy, and she was so funny, and she just sort of kept on sort of striding up and down. Like, she's got this way of sort of, like, making a point and then sort of clicking a finger in the air, like, to the next point, and really hilarious. And then towards the end, it's even got a musical element, and that's... You see how talented she is, but then the musical element's brilliant too, and you kind of think, well, fucking hell, she can do that as well. It just made for, like, an incredible show.
I saw my 20th through 25th show through four days, and all of them were absolutely fine. Steve Bougeier, Alistair Williams, Ivo Graham, Tom Lucy. But I was getting a bit of a sense of ennui, just in terms of we'd seen a lot of comedy in quite a short space of time. Were you feeling the same sensory overload in terms of laughs? There's only so much laughter you can give, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing with, like, even, like, the comics sort of acknowledge that, like, I think sometimes they can sense when it's nothing to do with them, but sometimes they can sense that a crowd is a bit flat because they're just a bit tired because it's the end of the day, or they can appreciate that the audience have been to see lots of shows. So, but, like, yeah, from a personal point of view, like, you have like waves, don't you? Of like when you're a little bit tired, or when you're sort of fresh to see something. But it's amazing what like a great, even when you're sort of knackered, it's amazing how a great show can sort of perk you up again.
What I needed at 9:45 last night, when I was fairly on the brink of, I don't want to say collapse because that would be too far fetched, but you know, tiredness. I mean, what I needed was something to pep me up. So I went to see a show called Coach Coach 2. Coach Harder, which was a follow-up to Coach Coach 1 from 2015, where Adam Riches played essentially a high school sports coach of a sport that's akin to basketball, but not quite basketball. And it was a sort of a comedy show slash play slash theatre production with a basketball court and then half a, I suppose, stadium, really, as you call bleachers in high school. It was the best piece of entertainment I've seen since I've been here. In fact, seen in a long time. It was a Saturday night crowd, and it was, you know, probably didn't start till gone 10. It was absolutely fantastic. Lots of different characters, US high school, taking on the Russians, but the team, the US team, had to be made up of people out of the audience. So the entire show was based around the jeopardy of whether or not audience members could shoot essentially a giant tennis ball through a basketball hoop. There was a script, but at times it felt like the script was clinging on to the window ledge by a frayed bungee rope. It was absolutely outstanding. There were probably about 200 people in the crowd, and it was like a high school sporting event in the US, and you could imagine the kind of, you know, it was like a Friday, if you've ever seen Friday Night Lights, it was just superb. You know, the audience were kind of whipped into a bit of a frenzy. It was absolutely outstanding fun. So that was just what I needed, you know, just to get away from that kind of treadmill of one stand-up after another, after another, after another.
You were saying that if we were staying a little bit longer, or if you sort of planned your time here slightly differently, you probably would have gone to see more sort of plays and musical type things as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw an advert for a play today called Mengele, about the Nazi Joseph Mengele and his time in Brazil after the end of the war, which has had outstanding reviews, which I really would have liked to have seen. I know also there was a play that you ended up not going to about that reminded me of the Colson Whitehead book, The Underground Railroad, but it shares a similar name but not the same name, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was Underground Railroad Game, which is meant to be highly rated, but I think that was the second day we were here, and we had a podcast to record, and it was just, yeah, it was something that we...
Time slipped away, didn't it?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we did today/yesterday, and as time ticks on to 3 a.m., there was just one thing that we were sort of queuing up for some things yesterday, and we saw that there was an event at midnight, a sort of a, what you get here at Edinburgh, kind of best of the festival, best of the fest, where you kind of turn up, you pay a price, you get told one name, and this particular name was Reginald D. Hunter. So you get the name of the kind of one of the acts, although there's usually four or five, and you get the name of the person who's going to kind of MC it, which was our friend Lou Conran. £7.50 each, what's not to love about that? So we bought our tickets, and at 5 to midnight we turned up at the Caves, and we went in, and we had quite an eye, didn't we? Because obviously Lou did a sort of 50-minute set, and it was outstanding. We'll talk about that in a sec. And then we had a comedian called Nick Dixon. We had a sort of a very short set from a guy who was a very much a rookie comedian, a Somali guy, who literally did sort of 5 or 6 minutes. Then the outstanding Alex Edelman, who I've seen and you haven't seen, and he's fast becoming a sort of acquaintance of ours, a friend of ours. We're hoping to hook up tomorrow. He's a big Liverpool fan, so hoping to hook up to watch Liverpool against West Ham. Jürgen's men take their first inexorable steps towards 19th league title. And then Mr. D. Hunter himself, who I've seen this year and you haven't seen. First of all, Lou, absolutely mesmeric as a host of this kind of thing, wasn't she? It was almost as if, you know, as good as she is in her own right as a stand-up, it was almost as if this format was totally made for her. I mean, as good as I've seen an MC running a show with four or five comedians and controlling an audience. And the fact and how she did it was she didn't use any of her own material, really. She picked on people in the audience, and the information that they gave her, she was then rapid-fire creating little vignettes out of what they were telling her. And it was, we've talked about this before on the pod, it's the mark almost of a great comedian, not the stuff that you know, it's the stuff that you don't know, and your ability to do what you can with the stuff that you don't know. I thought she was absolutely brilliant, didn't you?
Oh, she was amazing. And from the outset, she's like just a bundle of energy, but like she's a total force of nature. And like also you've got to appreciate that it's a Saturday night, there's a lot of pissed up people in there.
A lot of pissed up.
Yeah,
people.
And it's a big hodgepodge of sort of like, it's not like your sort of usual sort of polite sort of middle class, middle aged crowd. And like, it's like herding cats. And she was just amazing in sort of getting people energized and excited, but being in control. Like you had some pissed up sort of like shouts and sort of yells and stuff. And like she just shut them down straight away. But at the same time, kept the energy up to a certain level just to sort of obviously prepare them for the guests. A lot of it is physical comedy as well. She's great at that.
It is 3:02, and I can almost literally hear my bed calling. So in less than 30 words, tell me about something you're looking forward to on our penultimate day here at the Edinburgh Fringe. You are listening to Joe at the Edinburgh Fringe. I'm Simon Clancy with Noz Chowdhury. Go.
I'm really looking forward to All of the Comedian with his Sunday service.
That's at least 13 words.
Ed Owen, I'm really looking forward to because what you said, and obviously Daniel Kitson.
I reckon he brought that in under 30, which is astonishing. I am actually going to go and see Alex Edelman again, just because I thought it was wonderful, in part because it'll be the first proper stand-up you and I go and see together. But the thing I'm looking most forward to is Daniel Kitson. For me, as good as it gets. And I remember seeing him when he won the Perrier back in 2002, and we've both seen different incarnations of him since then, but this will be, I think, I hope, quite a treat for us to see. I'm really looking forward to that.
It will also happen to be the last thing we see before we depart the Fringe, so it's just a great way of ending our stay here.
You've got a lot to live up to, Mr. Kitson, if that is the case, and it is our last show, so you better not fuck it up, frankly. Thanks for listening. This has been Joe at the Fringe. Don't forget you can listen to episodes 1, 2 and 3. Interviews, we didn't have one today because it's 4 a.m. or something, but we have been doing interviews with comedians here. We've been chatting about the stuff that we've seen, about the sort of ephemera around the Fringe, some of the things that you can do and see and listen to and hear and enjoy if you're coming up or if these comedians come to your local town in the next few months after the Fringe, as they inevitably do. We shall be back tomorrow where we will talk about Alex Edelman. We shall talk, hopefully, in joyous terms about Daniel Kitson. And most importantly, we shall talk about Liverpool being top of the Premier League, which I'm sure you'll be most happy about.
Fuck that. Fuck that noise.
Good night, everybody.